I'll try with you where I found the title for this message. The Word of God, One Glorious Name. I was reading a hymn by Joseph Hart, who said, "The Scriptures and the Lord Jesus bear one glorious name. The written and the incarnate Word in all things are the same." What Christ said will be fulfilled. On this rock, every believer builds. Heaven and earth shall both pass away. Our Lord shall stand, His Word prevail. I don't worship the Bible. I reverence the Bible. I believe the Bible. I worship Christ. But I'm sharing this with you. You can't separate Christ and His Word. David said, "I believe, therefore I speak." Paul repeated it in the New Testament, "I believe, therefore I speak." And you cannot separate Christ from His Word. In fact, when Moses prophesied of the coming of the Redeemer, in his offices, prophet, priest, and king, Moses wrote, "God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and he'll put his words in that prophet's mouth, and that prophet shall speak unto thee all that God commands him. And it'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto God's word, which that prophet shall speak in his name, God required of him." David wrote in Psalm 119, "Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy word. I rejoice in the word of the Lord more than in all riches. I will meditate upon thy word. I will reverence thy word. I will delight myself in thy word, and I'll not forget thy word." I love that poem that Martin Luther wrote so many years ago, 500 years ago. He said, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of the Lord. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, I know one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. So I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. The words of men that all pass away. God's word abides forever." Reverence it, love it, believe it, meditate upon it, delight in it, and never forget it. The word of the Lord. Horatius Bonar, I love the testimony of these old men that stood the test of time. We're talking about centuries among God's people. Horatius Bonar. This is one of the greatest things I've ever read. A personal testimony in regard to the Word of God. Bonar said, "Though I see in myself the chief of sinners, yet I believe God's Word that in Christ there's no condemnation for me. And though conscious of my own ignorance and my foolishness in the flesh, I believe God's word which declares that Christ is my wisdom And in him, I can see God and know God. For he has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Though sensible of my sin, sin in nature and sin in my flesh, sensible of my sin, God's word declares that in Christ, by faith, through grace, by his blood, I'm holy. Perfectly holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. And though I see evil covering this earth, and don't we though? And I see Satan exercising dominion as the prince of the power of the air everywhere. Yet God's word declares that Satan is defeated. His power is crushed. Evil is defeated and cast out. And that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns. And that God has put all things already under his feet. And though we see not now all things under his feet, they are there, awaiting his coming and the revelation of his glory. He continued, I cannot with these eyes see a visible Christ. I don't see a visible Christ. I cannot with these eyes see a cross or a throne or even a Holy Spirit. And yet by his word, I believe on and in a crucified, buried, and risen Christ, who now reigns on a throne of grace at the right hand of the majesty in glory. And that he sent his blessed spirit, he said, I'll send you another comforter, and he'll take the things of mine and show them to you, and he'll glorify me. And I see in his word that he has sent that blessed comforter to quicken me, call me, give me faith, and lead me to love and rest in and look to him for all things. He continued, actually, what I see with my natural eyes, this is what I see. I see sin. I see sickness. I see the deathbed. I see the coffin. And I see the grave. Yet, I don't believe in sickness. I believe in his health. He heals all my sicknesses and diseases. Satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagle. I don't believe in death. I believe in him whose life is eternal. I don't believe in corruption. I believe in holiness, his holiness, his righteousness, that one day will cover the earth like the water covers the sea. I don't believe in mortality, but in immortality and glory swallowed up in victory through Christ Jesus. I don't believe in the grave, but in him who conquered the grave, who said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He that believeth in me will never die. Actually, what I see with my eyes, I don't believe. For the passion of this earth fadeth away. But what I see in this world with the eye of faith, that's what I believe. That's the foundation on which my hope, faith, rests. For we look not at things that are seen. We look at things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen with the natural eye, but only with our faith, revealed by the Spirit of God are eternal. That's what I believe. And I ask God for no sign. I ask Him for no vision. I ask Him for no evidence, either without or a dream within. God's given me His word. Sufficient. Complete. He confirmed it in His blessed Son by His death and resurrection. And thou shall my faith and my confidence and my soul rest until He brings it all to pass. So my friends, as Joseph Hart said, the Scriptures and the Lord by one glorious name. The written word, the incarnate word, and all things are the same. What my Lord has said will be fulfilled. Rest in it. And on this, every believer shall build. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word shall stand, His truth prevail. Did not our Lord say to Martha, I told you, Martha, if you believe, you'd see the glory of God. I told you that. If you believe, you'd see the glory of God. And I told you that. And I tell you again this morning, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. What you're looking at here is not glory. Nothing to it. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But what you don't see with these eyes, but what you see in His word, every promise, prophecy, will be fulfilled. Several years ago, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Several years ago, I put the 8th chapter of Romans into 7 divisions, 7 sections, which I found to be so helpful in teaching and in remembering its promises. 8th chapter of Romans. That's where we're going to be for a few minutes this morning, and then tonight I'm going to continue this message. But I've put it in 7 different sections. Now, Ralph Erskine said about the 8th chapter of Romans, it's a garden of beautiful blessings. Beautiful blessings. A garden. It's a field of faithful promises. It's a string of precious pearls to be considered individually and together. Let me give you these 7 divisions, and you jot them down in your Bible. I'm going to look at 2 this morning and 5 this evening. In verses 1 through 4, we have our standing in Christ. Our standing. In verses 5, beginning with verse 5, we have our character in Christ. And beginning with verse 9, we have our helper in Christ. And beginning with verse 14, we have our family in Christ. And beginning with verse 18, we have our expectation in Christ. And beginning with verse 27, we have our covenant in Christ. This is such a rich chapter, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you this day. This is the Word of God. The Word of God. Paul said to young Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the word. And here in chapter 8, verse 1, we have first our standing in Christ. It says, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Right now, this present time, there's no judgment. That's what that word means. Judgment, condemnation to these who are in Christ Jesus. Now, he doesn't say we're not condemnable. He doesn't say we're without fault and without sin. We condemn ourselves. We condemn ourselves, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. But sin cannot condemn us, and Satan cannot condemn us, and the law cannot condemn us, and judgment cannot condemn us, because Christ paid for our sins and put them away. And therefore, because Christ paid for our sins, there's no condemnation. Look over at verse 34. That's what he repeats in there, verse 34. He says, who is he that condemneth? He challenges heaven, hell, the earth, the law. Who can condemn me? Well, Paul, how can you be so confident that you have no judgment awaiting, no charge, no condemnation? He tells us why. Christ died. Not only died, but he rose again. Not only rose again, but he ascended to heaven. And not only ascended to heaven, but he prays for me. Makes intercession. So there's no condemnation. That's what Paul says in Hebrews 10. Let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. It says in verse 14, Hebrews 10, by one offering, Christ has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And verse 16 says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my law in their hearts and their minds when I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. A debt paid cannot be collected again. So Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left to crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's now, right now, no condemnation. Believers neither fear death nor judgment, because there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. That's our standing in Christ. We're chosen in Christ. We're loved in Christ. We're redeemed in Christ. We're accepted in Christ. We're seated in Christ. Look at verse 2. Not only is there no condemnation to us in Christ, this is our standing, no condemnation, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free from the law of sin and death. Now listen to me. We're not free from obedience to the statutes of God, or the laws of God, or the commandments of God. Christ said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So we're not free from obedience to Christ, obedience to his law. What he's saying here, we're free from the curse of the broken law. We're free from the judgment of the broken law. This is what this verse is saying. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that is the covenant of grace in Christ. And it's forever freed us from the covenant of works given to Moses. We're not under that Mosaic bondage, Levitical law, nor under its curse. Scripture says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do it. Well, we haven't, we aren't, and we can't. But Christ has redeemed us from that curse, so we're free. Free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law has no dealings with faith. The law doesn't talk about mercy. The law talks about obedience. And I can't produce it, neither can you. But Christ did. And in him, there's no judgment. In him, there's no curse. In Christ Jesus. All right, look at the next verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law wasn't weak. God's law is not weak. It's powerful and strong. But we're weak. The weakness is not in the law. It's in us. The inability is not in the law. It's in us. So how did God correct it? Look at verse 3. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down here, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. As a man, born of a woman. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, but born of a woman. And walked this earth in the flesh. He obeyed the law. Every jot and tittle, shadow, he obeyed the law perfectly as a man, as our representative, your representative, mine. In Adam, I died, in Christ, I'm made alive. In Adam, I was made sin, in Christ, I'm made righteous. He's our substitute, he's our representative, he's our redeemer. And he fulfilled for us everything God requires. And that's what it's saying here. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. Did we fulfill it? No, he did. As our substitute. He did as our surety. He did as our representative. By one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And Adam would die. But by one man, obedience and death, righteousness, forgiveness, justification came upon all believers. That's right. Our standing in Christ, no judgment. I don't have to be afraid of the judgment. He's already been judged and crucified. Put it away. I don't have to be afraid of death. It's not going to be long, so I don't have to fear it. I can look forward to it with great anticipation because in Christ I'm holy as God. You afraid to say that? No. With his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as his son. In Christ, in myself, I'm the chief of sinners. I know that. In myself, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Not one good thing. So many things that are wrong and out of whack. But in Christ, we're holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Because Christ is our Redeemer and our substitute. And we're free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation, no judgment, no curse, righteousness. All right, here's the second thing now, and we'll continue tonight with the rest. Our character in Christ. You know, there's two times I read there, they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 1, see that? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is our new character. Our walk, what's a man's walk? His walk is his general direction of his life. The general direction. It's the tenor of his life. It's what he is generally. Oh, I know. You know, a river flows south. The rivers flow south. The water takes the line of least resistance. It goes down, 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 down. That's the tenor of the river. That's the direction of the river. But sometimes it flows east, west. Sometimes it goes back the other way. But its general tenor is south. That's where a believer is. He walks in the light. There's times when he gets mad, he walks in, that's right. There's times when he says things and thinks things and does things that he's not flowing south. He's flowing north. He's not going in the direction of holiness. He's going, and he hates himself for it. And when he gets upset with you, he's as upset with him as he is with you. Himself. He'll go home and cry over it. Because he said, I wouldn't walk in the Spirit, I walked in the flesh. See that? But his general direction and the tenor of his life and the bent of his will is to be like Christ. Holiness to the law. Holiness to the law. Somebody asked Spurgeon, says, God give you anything you wanted, what would you ask for? He said, Lord, make me just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Make me holy. And I'm going to be someday. So that's what it means. He uses the word mind. Look at verse 5 and 6 and 7. The word mind, M-I-N-D. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, what does this thing mind mean? What's the word used over and over again? What does it mean? It's to be consumed with. It means to be anxious about. It means to be taken up with. Overly concerned about. So read it that way. Listen, verse 5. They that are after the flesh, the world, They're consumed with the world, with the flesh. They're anxious about the things of the flesh. They're taken up with the things of the world. They're overly concerned about the things of the world. But they that are after the Spirit, what is their mind? They mind the things of God. They're interested in what this Word says. They're interested in fellowship with God. They're interested in growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ. They're anxious about the kingdom of God. As Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First and foremost. And these things will be added to you. That's why our Lord said we have to be born again. Because the spiritual man, he's anxious about, concerned about, taken up with, consumed with the things of God. Now he works, makes a living. He's a good worker. He's probably the best worker on the crew. He loves his family, provides for his children, builds him a house, goes about his job, drives his bus, fixes electric, plumbing, all these things. These things are the flesh. He has to do it, enjoys doing. And there's time he's taken over it, but his heart and mind and soul and affection is set on things above. You see what I'm talking about? Things above. The worldly man, the natural man, is against holiness. The natural man is sensual, selfish. The natural man wants my way, not God's way. The natural man rejects the Word, rejects God's way. The natural man cannot be mended, cannot be modified, cannot be improved, has to be killed. The old man has to die. A new man created in Christ Jesus. And that's our standings in Christ, and our character is if any man's in Christ, he's born again, he's a new creature in Christ, he's a new man. Old things, the things he was so taken up with and absorbed in and consumed with, he's just not that interested anymore. No, he doesn't neglect family, and he doesn't neglect friends, he doesn't neglect his work, he's a better workman. He doesn't neglect his responsibilities, he doesn't neglect his community, he's a good citizen, he obeys the laws. But his affections on things above. Oh, to win Christ and be found in him. Oh, to be made like Christ. Oh, to know Christ. That's it. That's it. Oh, Augustine wrote one time, he said that, how can snow be made warm? By making it cease to be snow. So then they that are consumed with and anxious about and taken up with this world cannot please God. They've got to cease to be what they are and become in Christ new person. And that new person will be taken up with the things of God. The Lord willing tonight, we'll start right there and talk about these other things. May God bless his word. Now.